is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and she's back. The absolutely stunningly gorgeous Amanda Flanders.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I've been away for a few months and it's gone all blue in here.
It has, yeah.
And that's not just because it's cold.
No, it's the language.
Well, yeah, that as well.
It is cold. You can turn the air conditioning off if you want.
No, it's quite nice actually. It's hot outside.
It is, yeah. Okay. Anyway, it's lovely to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've been away a long time.
I have. It feels like, well, it has been 5 months now.
It is, yeah.
God, this year is going so
fast. I know. I saw on Facebook earlier, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes posted a memory from the Bunker Extra show.
Yeah,
with you and the girls, and they were still babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Cool. Anyway, welcome back.
Thank you.
We've got Amanda Flanders as co-host. We've got two fantastic guests. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors, and we're very pleased to be working in partnership with Whitcomb HR. Here on the Business Bunker Show, Whitcomb HR is a human resource consultancy service offering small businesses based in the southeast the opportunity to have their own HR manager when required. You can find out all about the team there by going to their website, which is www.whitcombhr.co.uk, and that's Whitcomb spelled Whitcombe, whitcombhr.co.uk. Do check them out, and thank you so much for supporting the Business Bunker Show. Right, we want to hear from you, all the businesses out there in the southeast of England. You can get in touch with us in the usual ways, but the best thing to do is just tweet us, really. Use the hashtag BBunker, and you can tweet me, Vanilla Web, or you can tweet her, Amanda J. Flanders.
Her.
Amanda J. Flanders, or Vanilla Web. And always use the hashtag BBunker, and then we'll find you. We have had quite a few tweets already, so do keep them coming in, because she is on the show. I'm sure we'll get into a GIF war at some point this morning and this afternoon.
Come on, people. You know how much I love my GIFs, so really, really, really want some great GIFs coming this way.
Absolutely. Right, I'm going to kick off with a few tweets. The lovely Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks. Let's get on with it. It's the Business Bunker Radio Show today with Vanilla Web and Amanda in the hot seat. So, thank you to Bev and Tony, Chips and Dinks. Give them a follow on the Twitter. They're lovely, lovely folks, and they do a great job of Amanda's car every week.
He hasn't been out for a while, but I do need you again, Tony. A bit of a scratch on it.
The Tenterton Chamber, let me tell you their Twitter handle, Tenterton Chamb, C-H-A-M-B, and the number one. It's the Tenterton Chamber of Commerce. Chamber members now using the job directory section of the website when looking for people. Why are you not using this service? And they also offer the Tenterton loyalty card, so do check all of that out. Martin from Charity Buddy, good morning, good afternoon, Paul. Could we have a shout out, please, mate? Yeah, of course you can. Give them a follow on the Twitter, charity_buddy. Martin is starting has started a not-for-profit business, Charity Buddy, in which he's trying to raise funds for different charities using different different methods of doing it. And he's always open to ideas. So if you've got any ideas, or you know, you want to collaborate on anything, let him know. But a huge shout out to Martin at Charity Buddies. Follow him on the Twitter, charity_buddy.
Are you going to let me do any?
Yeah, go on.
Can I? Is that all right?
Yeah, go on.
There's one here from Pink Spaghetti PA Services, Thanet in Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, I wonder if Vanilla Web Business Bunker might be interested in letting our local hospitality businesses know about a free service. It's a privacy notice template for local businesses who are having to collect customer info under the test and trace guidelines. So I'm guessing if you contact, here we go, pinkspag_Vicky, and that's V-I-K-K-I-E, she'll give you more details. But yeah, I've noticed that obviously within the hospitality industry, what they're really asking people to do we went into a restaurant the other day, they're asking for names and telephone numbers. I don't think they're doing
Is that why they're doing it?
Yeah.
See, I thought the barmaid just... No, I don't know.
It was the man that asked you. So
Yeah, it was.
Within the hospitality industry, so I'm guessing restaurants, bars. I wonder if they happen to do it in pubs. Can you imagine that, having to do that in a pub?
Yeah, no, they are doing it in pubs.
In pubs?
Yeah, yeah.
And hotels, etc. Mm. Name and telephone number.
Mm. While we're talking about Pink Smag, Vicky, she had already tweeted for another shout-out, which is quite welcome. Pink Spaghetti PA Services, Thanet and Canterbury, providing admin and business support to sole traders and micro-businesses in the East Kent area. Let us be your much-needed 25th hour in the day. So, as Amanda said, give her a follow on Twitter. It's pinkspag_Vicky, V-I-K-K-I-E. pinkspag_Vicky. Give her a follow. The lovely Tracy Ann Barker, Tabat Official. Hey, it's Tuesday. It's Business Bunker Day. I'm listening live today. Hope you're well. It would be great if you could please give us a shout out for the last remaining place for our management program, which starts this Thursday, the 6th of August. And she's given a link. So if you want to find that, if you follow Tracy Ann, her Twitter handle is Tabba, T-A-B-A. _official and the Thursday course is Essential Management Skills. So do give her a follow and do get yourself booked onto that if that is your bag. What you got?
Oh, I was just answering somebody's tweet. Should I do an email?
She started already. Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought, you know, you let me know. I haven't. No, come on, get those gifts coming in, people. I need gifts. I'm going to do an email just to mix it up a little bit. The next meeting of Marsh Network Online is at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, 19th of August, in the Zoom room. Booking is essential. Book now to reserve your place at. Book either a free ticket or a charity donation ticket, and we will send the link to join nearer the time. Join us and give and receive support, grow your contacts, network, and your... Who typed this? Join us and give and receive support, grow your contacts, network, and your business.
There's no commas in it, is it? That's the problem.
Well, it doesn't make sense. Anyway, if you want to do an online networking with the Marsh Network for all those people on or around the Marsh, if you contact them, if you go to marshnetwork.co.uk or through the Marsh Network app, they've got an app.
They have got an app.
Well, yeah. I'm very impressed, Terry. Well done. Mm. Or if you really want to know anything more, you can go to Twitter and follow TD Botty.
TD Botty, our favourite Twitter handle.
TD Botty.
Yep.
So I guess that's the way networking's going at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody's Zoom networking.
Zooming on, yeah. But I want to get back to meeting real people. That's what I want to do.
We're working on it. Working on it. Hopefully after the 1st of October, unless he puts a pause
on
that.
I'm getting zoomed out now.
You zoomed out?
Yeah. My ears are sore from wearing headphones all day, every day. Mm. Anyway, some things going on with the Federation of Small Business. There's a summer networking and cocktails. Thursday the 20th of August, 5 to 6 p.m.
On Zoom?
No. Join small businesses and self-employed people for a relaxing summer networking event. You'll have the chance to mingle with fellow business owners and hear from local FSB representatives about the way we're supporting local firms throughout this difficult period. Suffolk-based Bob Scott, who's the owner of VIP Cocktails, will show us how to make some fantastic cocktails in the comfort of our own homes. You can book by going to fsb.org.uk/event calendar, summer networking and cocktails.
You did say in the comfort of your own homes.
So yeah, I know. I was hoping, I was really hoping it was a party.
No.
Yeah, I was really hoping it was a party, but no, they're going to do Zoom cocktails, for goodness sake.
Well, yeah, that's quite good. You just have to have all the ingredients, don't you?
Well, I like cocktails. I'm teetotal.
Well, you can have mocktails.
Yeah, I know. It's not the same. I was hoping there was a bit of...
networking. It's coming. Yeah, it's coming. Yeah. We've got to be patient. October, 1st of October, possibly, if we're lucky. Anyway.
Yeah. Right,
we have one here from Everest Web Design, and they've said, hi, we're listening in. So, hello, shout out to Everest Web Design, Everest W Design on the Twitter. And Whitcomb HR have tweeted, are you listening? We're really pleased to sponsor the show. We're great. We really appreciate having you as our sponsors. Just looking. Come on, guys. I haven't seen any gifts yet.
Cool. I've got a tweet here from the Recovery Well. Their Twitter handle, their Recovery Well Complementary Therapy, and their Twitter handle is Recovery Well. And they say, hi, Vanilla Web, I'd love a shout-out on today's show, please. I won't be able to interact like last week, sadly, but we'll tune in at the start. Well, that's okay.
Okay, and you can always listen again. That's
yep,
the beauty.
And you can always catch up with us if you don't hear it all. If you are out there and you do want to participate, you can always get a shout-out or send us a gift or chat to us. Neville Gaunt has also tweeted, oh, this is interesting. Hi, Paul and Amanda. Can we have a shout-out, please? The British Red Cross is 150 years old today.
Oh, blimey.
So happy birthday to you, British Red Cross. And what a fabulous job they do. And they're 150 years old. Fantastic.
I was going to say something then and I didn't.
What?
I bit my tongue.
She's being rude about me, listener.
Oh,
it's not my birthday for 2 weeks.
No.
Yeah. And I won't be 150.
No.
Not quite, anyway.
No.
Ali Harold has said hello. Hello, Ali. Hope you're well. And what else we got? Crystal Healing Bags. Good afternoon, Paul. Could we have a shout-out, please? Yes, of course you can. Crystal Healing Bags. Give them a follow on Twitter. Crystal Bag Z. So do you see what they did there? What are you laughing at?
Carry on.
She's got the giggles. Why are you corpsing?
There's a mention of bag.
Crystal bags?
Yeah.
I don't want to know. She's been in one of those moods. Give me a follow on the Twitter. I'm going to say it again just to make her go again. Crystal bags with a Z. B-A-G-Z, obviously.
Of course. We have one from Makeup by Ray. She's been struggling to get on, but we're glad you've finally made it on. On air, which she wants a shout out, please. So that's Ray, R-A-I-H underscore makeup, M-U-A body shop at home consultant. So there's your shout out, Ray. I'm glad you're finally with us on air.
Fantastic. Good. I want to tell you about this. Jenna. Are delighted, that's Jenna Group, the construction company, are delighted to promote the forthcoming Shepway Sports Trust Charity Golf Day as the main sponsor of the event for the third year running. We're delighted that the Trust are able to proceed with the day, which will of course adhere to all enhanced safety measures, heightened by hygiene and social distancing, to allow them to raise vital funds to continue the amazing work they do. You can find out more about the Trust by going to their website, which I'll give you in a moment. The day will be held on Friday the 11th of September at the absolutely fantastic Broom Park Golf Club. That's just outside Canterbury. It's £40 a person and the format is Texas Scramble. It's a relaxed and enjoyable day and I'm sure even more welcome this year as a chance to get back out and network in a safe manner. And that's from Ella Brucklebank. And the website to find out more about the Trust or to book your place on the golf day is www.shepwaysportstrust.org. That's www.shepwaysportstrust.org. Right then. We're going to play some cheesy tunage.
Oh, you didn't pick some cheesy tunage, did you?
Yeah, and this is well cheesy,
oh.
And it'll really annoy Chris, who's our next guest, because it is the same cheesy tunage I always play when he's on. Can you guess it before I play it?
No.
Can you guess it when I do play it?
No.
No? Come on.
I'm not old enough.
It's a boy.
Come on, chameleon.
Yeah.
All the way. If I listen to your lies, would you say? Come
Is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. We suddenly got a bit loud, didn't we?
That was a bit of feedback there. Thanks for that.
Yeah, don't know about what happened there. Anyway, hopefully we're now joined on the line by Chris Hyde of Chameleogenics. Do you get it? Chameleogenics.
I get it now, yeah.
Yeah, karma chameleon. Sorry, yeah. I'll do it every time to Chris.
He's
on the show.
Now, aren't you, Chris?
He was sick of it in the first place. He's now heartily sick of it. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. To be honest, I only hear that song about once every year, 18 months, and it's when I come on this programme.
Exactly, yeah. Unfortunately, it's the only track we've got, you see.
I love it. How are you both?
Yeah, very well, thank you, Chris. And it's lovely to hear your dulcet tones from up there in Spalding in Lincolnshire.
Yes, in a very grey and gloomy Spalding in Lincolnshire as well.
Yeah.
It's what, sorry?
Grey and gloomy.
Grey and gloomy.
Oh, is it? It was a little bit grey here on the way to the studio, but I haven't been out for the last couple of hours, so I don't know what it's like now.
Yeah, it's half and half.
Nice to hear Amanda back on the radio.
Thanks, Chris.
Amanda.
Hi, Chris.
So, Chris, Chameleogenics, and you're also the main man behind Sound of Spitfire Radio, which is one of our favourite music stations, and we always have a good listen to you.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. Lovely.
It's great what you do, and we really love what you do. As I say, but you're also the man, the CEO, the man behind Chameleogenics. So why don't you kick off by telling the listener a bit about Chameleogenics and a bit about you and what it is you do.
Certainly will. Well, Chameleogenics now, actually, this is a bit of a, it's a funny year, obviously, for everyone, but it's been interesting for Chameleogenics. I mean, as listeners will know, small businesses, I think the first 5 years are pretty darn crucial. I won't say it's all been plain sailing, but Chameleogenics now coming into the end of year five come September. So that's a bit of a landmark for us. But set off originally, I got fed up with the corporate world, to be honest, and I was seeing things change and process redesign and things not working, and I thought, actually, I can do something better. So I decided to take the leap, if you like, leap of faith, and set up on my own. And so that's what I've been doing, helping small businesses and public sector organisations a lot of the time, until that wretched IR35 thing came in, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah, sure.
Doing process redesign and change management, and that's really where it's all come from.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you've done quite a bit of work within the health sector, I understand, as well.
Lots in the health sector, and actually, timing-wise, with the COVID situation, my last face-to-face delivery completed just at the end of March, just as the lockdown approached, so the timing was actually spot on. And then, as a lot of businesses did, it went through a hiatus, but I was working a lot with GP practices. Mm. And of course, the demand on GP practices, it altered radically due to the fact that people naturally stayed away from the GP practices, as you would expect, through a couple of reasons, really, and not wishing to burden the health sector with just the normal niggles, but the demands increased in other ways because the GP practices were having to work in very different ways and losing the face-to-face consultations.
Yep.
So around about May time, suddenly our work ramped up, and yeah, you know, I was laughing when you were saying about being sick of Zoom meetings. Mm. But I was doing virtual consultations, so doing workshops via the screen, sort of thing, which presents its own challenges.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's a funny thing about things like pandemics and major global traumas, that they tend to be catalysts for massive change in a short space of time.
Well, yes, and actually you've hit the nail on the head there, because for so many years, lots of my work has been focused on capacity and demand management. I mean, everyone knows, and this will come as no great surprise, that people often complain that they can't get a face-to-face appointment at the GP. Well, because of the COVID situation, of course, that turned itself on its head, and people suddenly accepted that was the norm, if you like. Mm. And so telephone appointments and virtual consultations via web access and even email consultations in certain cases became the norm. And that radically shifted the demand in GP practices. Now, that's catalyst for change, if you like, was something that you could have never have predicted, but it moved the traditional way of getting GP appointments so far forward. The trick is, of course, and you know this yourself, in any change management, is making the changes, then embedding them and making them stick. And the danger is, of course, as we slowly ease lockdown, if you like, although, you know, all bets are off at the moment about how far that's going to go.
Sure.
But is people
and how old you can be to go out.
Yes, exactly. But and how things will now, will they revert back to the way things were? Because the health service was under demand in all places. And that, the demand hasn't gone away. It's just reshaped, if you like.
It's interesting, though, isn't it, Chris? It just shows you. I don't know if you've been in an A&E department in the last 4 months.
I try not to.
No, I try not to, too. But unfortunately, in my style of living, I tend to go there quite a lot. But it's been amazing how empty they are.
Yes, and of course, well, and don't get me started on this one, because I'll probably get shot by somebody who's listening here. But there's arbitrary targets that are set by government, like, for instance, the four-hour target.
Yeah.
Now, that's bandied around quite often, about 4 hours and being seen and all the rest of it. But actually, when you go into the detail of it and how many percentiles and all the rest of it, it's much more complex. Mm. But of course, the headline act is this 4 hour target. Now, if you look back at last year's statistics and this year's statistics for the 4 hour target, of course, everyone's meeting it now because people haven't been presenting as regularly at A&E during the last 3 or 4 months.
Yep.
So that will be interesting how that weighs up over the next year or so, and what the trends are, because it's all about trend analysis rather than, just a snapshot in time.
Yeah. I mean, one assumes that there has been traumas. Although I guess that, you know, because we've been all locked up at home for 4 months, you know, the amount of road traffic accidents must have dropped, and industrial accidents must have dropped because people just weren't out there.
Absolutely.
But it's also interesting, though, isn't it, from a change point of view, how maybe in the future A&E will also be able to do things remotely. You know, so that, you know, I don't know if you've cut yourself quite badly, instead of drawing all the way up to A&E and waiting for 4 hours to be seen, is to be able to do a video appointment and says, look, I've cut myself, and they go, yeah, well, okay, you won't need stitches in that. What you need to do is put something on it, you know, some Savlon on it or something, and a bandage. You know, to what extent we could do A&E triage, if you like, remotely.
Well, these these things actually, it's not a new phenomena. Mm. It's just the fact, again, you know, because of the COVID situation, people are thinking more in those terms. Do I really need to go there, or is there something else that I can do? Yeah. You know, people have there have been criticisms about the NHS 111 system and all things like that. And I must, I'm going to put my my big arm around people on the front line, like receptionists, who are always given such a hard time. Because they're seen as these gatekeepers, if you like, but actually they're trained to do a job and triage people correctly and protect the most vital clinical appointments, so that, you know, and signposting people. There's a whole raft of stuff about social prescribing now and signposting people to other services. So incidentally, actually, and this is another interesting point, and actually it doesn't matter whether you're healthcare or any business, there are a few key questions that I've been asking whilst doing these consultations or these workshops. And if I may, I'll just run through
these. Yeah, sure.
And people might want to consider this for their own business, whether you're a sole trader or a big, you know, limited company. So, in the COVID situation, are there things that you have stopped doing? And if so, should they stay stopped? Are these things that you were doing before and actually now you've been forced into a position, you've stopped them and you've realised, actually, this is a good thing, let's stop it, so don't do it again? Or are there things that you've stopped doing that actually you need to restart, and what is going to be now your process for restarting them? So those are some key questions there. And on the flip side, are there things during the COVID situation that you've started doing that you never thought about doing before? Yeah, working from home is a very typical example, if you like. But if you've started doing these things, are there things that you actually need to stop because you're in crisis management and now you're going into the normality again? Or are there things that you've started doing that you wouldn't have necessarily thought about that you now need to enhance and grow? And are there other things that you can build onto it, you know, to promote the business further? So those are some key questions that I ask.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. It's interesting. I guess some of this happened in the rest of the country, but down here in Kent and the South East, there were, at the start of the lockdown, there were companies like Digital Beans that were helping retailers, small independent retailers, put their stuff online. And of course, a lot of retailers had, through fear of technology and all the rest of it, had eschewed that way of doing business. But once they had to shut their shops, it was the only recourse they had was to continue trading online. And of course, the upshot of that is a lot of people have discovered how efficacious it is to trade online, and they've now got to start asking themselves whether it's worth going back and reopening their shops.
Yes, which of course, again, and the flip side is also damaging for the high street up here in Lincolnshire. It's really sad in some of the towns now. Before, a lot of the small towns were really suffering anyway with businesses going down. One big name you might be aware of, they're based down in Bournemouth, but they've got quite a large department store up here called Beals. Even prior to COVID, they had basically pulled the shutters down, and that was it. They've gone, leaving a massive dent in the high street. And even as you walk through now, you know, even the market, which we won't get into a big discussion as to why. Let's just say the local authority haven't helped on the matter.
Yeah.
It is starting to rip the heart out of the high street, if you like. And I know this is a national issue, but I know there's been help and breaks on rateable values, but you've talked at length before on rates for businesses. And to be honest, some just literally aren't going to recover from this. And it's a crying shame, it really is.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because, you know, that like anything, evolution happens, you know, inventions happen, you know, online shopping, the internet happened. And so many organisations didn't respond to that because they didn't know how.
And this has really starkly brought it into perspective. You know, without being over dramatic, I really do think that the days of the department store are gone. You know, the giant department store that used to be the focal point of most high streets just isn't viable any longer.
Yes, not too many Grace Brothers kicking around.
Exactly, you know, and funnily enough, Fruitworks, my place in Canterbury, my landlord was in fact Grace Brothers. they had a department store that really hadn't changed since 1954. It was the only source of stringback driving gloves in the south of England.
I wondered where you got them from.
Yeah, exactly.
What were you talking about? String what?
Stringback. Driving gloves.
You're too young, Amanda.
Amanda's just making the point that she didn't even remember them the first time round. But sadly, you know, it's like anything. Now it's like buggy whip sales, or you know, carriage wheels, or cannonball makers. Eventually, technology overtakes you and moves past it. The problem that we face is that through local authorities and the way that they structured high streets, most of these shopping precincts were based around one big department store. Yeah, that was the key point that everybody saw as a way of attracting shoppers into a high street area, was to have a big flagship store. And those flagship stores are no longer viable, so you're not bringing it in. You know, and a lot of people have talked about, and I want your views on this, Chris, a lot of people have talked about, you know, the new remote working way of working now, where we're working from home, and office blocks emptying. And what a lot of people are saying is, of course, that's going to have a similar effect, because an office block in a city centre or a town centre is what fed the trade for coffee shops, sandwich shops, hairdressers, you know, and all the other ancillary things that people use during their lunchtime or on their way to work. So what are your thoughts on that as a change point?
Well, it is absolutely true. Footfall within towns, and you're quite right. I was watching an interview with a chap who was the CEO of Greencore, who make the they put the sandwiches in the little wrappers and flog them out to different outlets and all the rest of it. And he was saying that because of footfall and people working from home, that side of the business has dramatically decreased. Mm. However, ready meals and things like that from supermarkets had increased considerably. Yeah. And the point that you make about what this COVID situation has proven, that actually the money that businesses have to spend on floor space, if you like, whether it be in a office building or whatever, actually with the way technology has developed and being able to work remotely, it's more now something that is a nicety rather than a necessity. And to be honest, you know, if you need to meet a client face-to-face, then there are shared workspaces or offices that you can rent on an hourly basis even to do that face-to-face meeting, you know. So unfortunately, it's again, you can be wedded to the past with rose-tinted spectacles, if you like, but unfortunately you do need to roll with the punches, and change does happen. But again, and you've spoken again at length about this with numerous guests, it's how do you innovate and make the best of that opportunity, so and reinvent the situation rather than just going, oh, woe is me, and just letting it fall by the wayside. So it's about, okay, this new world looks like this. What can we do within this new world and make it better?
Yeah, absolutely. It's creative destruction. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people get caught in the whirlwind of the destruction. Yeah, so existing businesses go down, people lose their jobs, people lose their livelihoods, and out of those ashes, a phoenix arises and new businesses take their place. It's just that those people caught up in the downside of it are the ones that suffer. And I guess the task for all of us is to try to help them come to terms with the changes they need to make in order to not suffer badly from the new paradigm, as it were.
Well, again, as well as those questions I asked about stop doing and started doing, etc., one of the things that we talked through, you're familiar with the Kubler-Ross, often described as the grief curve.
Yeah.
So it goes up for a start, and people go into shock and denial.
Yeah.
And then they, depending how far they go, they can go right to the bottom, or often into a pit of despair. And this is, you know, you were talking last week, I believe, a lady called Kate, you were talking about mental wellness and mental fitness and mental health. Well, when people go down that curve and go into despair, people can get really unwell, you know, and depressed, and it's that it then becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And the trick with any change management is, as people will naturally go into the shock and denial bit, you know, the oh my god, I can't believe it sort of thing, I can't believe this is happening, but it's catching people before they get to the bottom of the curve and take them on a journey to take them through acceptance and up to the other side, to the new normal, if you like, and bring them out, hopefully, in a better place than they were to start off with.
Absolutely. So if there's anyone out there who's sitting there looking at the shambles of their business, as it were, or, you know, really fearful for where their business is going, you need to talk to us, because basically, there are ways of getting out of this that you know, aren't as bad as you think they are. You know, the problem is, isn't it, that the problem with change is that all human beings are fairly bad at change, and we get stuck in our own bubble, and we think the walls of our bubble are the limits of what we can do, because that's what our experiences are. But
absolutely, I'm using visual models here, which aren't especially helpful on radio. But I talk to people about comfort zones and stretch zones. So everyone sits in their comfort zone, and that's the place that they like to operate. But to go to optimal performance, you need to be right at the limits of your comfort zone into what you call the stretch zone, and eventually that becomes your new normal. So you can make your comfort zone larger. And the difficulty is sometimes is when people are pushed too far the other way and they break through what is acceptable as stretch, and then they go into panic and denial. And this is where, actually, coming back to Camellia Jennings, this is where I can actually help a lot of people. What I haven't got is a magic wand with all of the answers, but sometimes, especially if you are similar to myself, actually, an MD of a limited, but you're basically you're it sort of thing.
Yeah.
But is to talk to somebody, because actually, you know, the old adage, you know, a problem shared is a problem halved.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Just sounding it out to someone, they just can often say, well, have you considered? Or, well, why do you do that? And sometimes, as well, you mentioned about, you know, what to do at any given point. Well, sometimes think to yourself, you know, what would I do? Even if you've got, you know, it's the best moment of the business, always think to yourself, if the chips were down and the wheels came off the wagon today, what would I do next?
Yep.
And that's basically what I've been doing over the past couple of months. So I've been talking to our good friend Tracy Ferguson quite a lot, and we've had lots of conversations about, you know, what's next sort of thing. And it is often, you know, I can't remember, I was on plan B. I think I'm on to about plan S at the moment. it's improvise, adapt, overcome, to use a bit of a Clint Eastwood expression.
Right. Cool.
Yeah, Tracy actually has been tweeting in all through your conversation.
Bless her.
We do like Tracy's conversation. She actually started off, obviously, when you're talking about the healthcare, and she said she's actually had the quickest and most efficient doctor and skin specialist appointment ever since the start of COVID, and then she's now halfway through a 3-month treatment. So it's been like it's worked in the opposite for her, that she's actually managed to get such a quick appointment. But she also goes on to say, in great point, Chris, about reflection on new versus old practices adopted by businesses at the start of COVID. I can't wait to get back to face-to-face workshops with the kids, October hopefully. But actually, the online BYBS for Optivome
Optivo Homes residence has been really great to deliver. And she did one more saying, yes, Paul, there are going to be many people displaced who rely on office retail for their livelihoods. Mm. There will be some people and businesses who are unable to react as quickly to the new way of working. How can we help them before they join the great unemployment statistics?
I think that's a great point. And the thing is to reach out for help, isn't it? Is to talk to people like Chris. And you can talk to us as well. You know, one of the things that I want to do, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, is if your business is struggling, let me know. Because we can kind of try to point you at people that could help. And I don't always mean, you know, just professional help. There are lots of people in the same situation. And one of the things that I think is the way out of this is more collaboration. Yeah, so
absolutely.
Yeah, if we've got two or three local businesses that are all struggling, how could you pull your resources and pull something out of it that you can do together? So if you're in that situation, you can contact Chris, and Chris will give you his details in a minute, or you can contact us. You can drop me an email at hello@bizradio.co.uk and just reach out to us, because I am trying to put together something for people that once we can, you know, as Amanda said, it's looking like October now, but once we can all get back into a room and we can sit down and talk about these things, we can do it on Zoom if we need to, but, you know, if we could all sit down and kick around ideas and kick around ways of helping each other to get out of this and to recover from this, then that's the way to do it. Chris, it's been a pleasure to talk to you as always.
I will see you, Paul.
If people want to find out more about Chameleogenics and the fantastic change management work you do, what's the best way of doing that?
Probably the easiest way is to go on Twitter, and I've especially made my Twitter handle easier.
You
now
sure did,
it was
didn't
a
you?
Nightmare before. Yes.
Some of us could spell it.
Yeah.
Well, you can now, because you can find me on Twitter, and it's at Chamgenix, which is Chamgenix. Doesn't get any easier than that. Or, and I even changed my website name as well, you can find me at artofscienceandchange.co.uk or .com. So that's artofscienceandchange.co.uk or .com.
Fantastic, Chris. Thank you for that. Are you on the radio today, mate?
I am, in approximately 16 minutes.
Okay, well, they can't listen to you while they listen to me, but they will come will come and find you eventually. Give us a shout-out for your wonderful radio station.
We are soundofspitfire.info. You can find us there on the radio player, but don't switch until 3 o'clock. I'll be there till 5, but you switch over at 3 after the Business Bunker. So
yes.
Stay tuned.
So get a dose of Chris's music. What are you doing on the show today?
Well, do you know, that lovely, you know, stonkingly gorgeous, as you might have said once, sorry, Amanda, Jules Serkin, she's actually put a request in today. She's asked for The Stranglers and Golden Brown.
Oh, but Golden Brown, okay.
Yeah. Also, we're doing a chart rundown from 1963, and we've got some fantastic independent artists from 4 till 5, and you don't want to miss them. There are some brilliant bands out there who just need some airplay, and that's what we do.
Fantastic. Chris, thank you so much for that. It's lovely to talk to you, as always. Keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a fantastic afternoon. Enjoy your show, and we'll listen in later.
Fantastic show, guys, and thanks so much for the opportunity. Always good to speak to you both.
No worries. Have a good afternoon. Cheers,
thanks,
mate.
Chris, bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Chris Hyde there at Chameleogenics, and also Sound of Spitfire Radio. Good stuff.
There's so many gifts.
Is there?
So many gifts. I
we'll
love
talk
it.
Us through some of them. What you got?
Well, I think you might want to ban or block Diamond Wedding Circles.
Well, I was just going to read their first tweet. Have they been going mad?
Oh, I'm not sure whether you should.
Yeah, have they been rude to me?
Well, it's something about the football, but I don't want to go any further than that.
He's still not going on about Arsenal cheating their way to the Cup final, is he? Is he still going on about that? He couldn't even tell that, you know, they got a basketball player in goal there, you know, tapping a ball around the outside the area. Anyway, I'll give him his one tweet. Diamond Circle Weddings. Hi, Business Bunker. Hope you're all safe and well. Another busy morning at the Grand Folkestone, and another booking for next year. Along with the Grand, we will never charge you an uplift if you have to move or postpone your date due to government restrictions. So that's fantastic stuff. Funnily enough, the Grand Folkestone are guests on next week's show, so you can hear about what they've been doing.
Who's that then?
It's Ewa.
Oh, yeah, she's lovely.
Yeah, Iwa is one of the managers there, because they've had a change of management structure as well. And Iwa came on talking about, and she's going to talk about this next week, talking about how lockdown affected them in the first place and how they see unfolding that. So do listen out for that next week. What else have we got? You've done that one. Oh, I see. I'm getting the gifts now.
Can you see the gifts?
What's Kermit got to do with it, for goodness sake? Together again.
Well, Kermit and Miss Piggy, I'm guessing.
Is he trying to say you look like Kermit?
I don't know. I hope he's not trying to say I look like Miss Piggy.
that was the one. You got away with that, Paul.
So much trouble you are getting yourself into.
I've found it, yeah.
You got them coming out?
No, I've not calmed down yet. No, I'm not calm about it. We were robbed.
I mean, I must say, actually, I didn't say to Chris when he was on the phone, but his gift came through. Literally, it's a gift saying "gift not found."
Ah, okay.
Because I have offered a prize to the winning gift. You see.
Right. Okay. I quite like Tracy's gift about relax. Some medics trying to get someone. That was quite funny.
Okay, you just amuse yourselves, listeners. We're just going to be looking at all the gifts.
Yeah. Cool. So. We'll catch up with some of the tweets in a minute. I've got some more emails to read. The FSB have got an event, Maximise Your Membership with What's In It For Me. So basically, it's an event telling you why, for members, telling you all the things that you do have access to and why you should be using them. And that's taking place on Wednesday, the 9th of September, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Now more than ever, it's time to make sure you're making the most of all of your benefits as a member of the Federation of Small Business. You can join that webinar by going to fsb.org.uk/event-calendar/FSB Kent. So that's fsb.org.uk/event-calendar/FSB Kent.
Do you want me to do something? Sorry, I'm just replying to my fans.
Well, you might as well do something, yeah.
No, my fans are all...
Oh, your fans are all on, are they? So Amanda's fan club is back in the groove.
They're all saying, glad to have me back, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, it is lovely to have you back.
Love you all. Shall I do an email?
Yeah, go on.
I noticed you're giving me the long one to read. Locate in Kent teams up with top Kent universities to launch business courses. So Locate in Kent has today announced the launch of Business Lab, a series of bite-sized leadership courses designed to help business owners, business leaders and entrepreneurs to plan their future in the post-lockdown economic landscape. Throughout summer 2020, the programme of short courses will be delivered in a live virtual learning environment where participants will join academics from the University of Kent and Canterbury Christchurch University to learn about global business best practice based on academic research in a collaborative and innovative space. Participants will be able to observe and test methods to shape the future of their organizations. Business Lab will also help businesses to identify and maximize their future opportunities. This could be through developing analytical tools to support business growth and performance, reassessing the leadership styles, and harnessing digital transformation. To explore Business Lab and receive more details on course content, visit www.locateincent.com/business/lab. That's good. So if you need a bit of help redirecting or getting you going again after the summer, check out those courses. I'm guessing they're free. There's no mention of cost or anything, so...
Sorry?
I'm guessing they're free courses.
Right.
Yeah, do we reckon? I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I must say thank you, Bev, Chips and Dinks, for the fabulous gif coming through of a orangutan dancing around to Let's Get It On. And they're just saying it's lovely to have me back on the air. So thank you, Bev. It's been too long.
So Amanda's dominating the Twitter sphere with her fan club, and quite rightly too. We've still got loads of tweets coming in, and that's lovely. Do keep them coming in. We've got another guest to talk to in the second half of the show. We've got loads more information to talk to you about and lots of things happening. So do keep on keeping on. But seriously, just following up from what Chris Hyde was saying earlier, and it's something I mentioned a few weeks ago, and I have had one or two people contact me. Obviously, I haven't done very much about it at the moment because I just want to see the extent of where we are. But I want to hear from people with micro small businesses, sole traders, whatever, that really think they're going to struggle when this is over and they try to re-establish their businesses. If you're really struggling and you can't see a way out of where you are, I want to hear from you, because it may be that we can get together and help in some way. Maybe we can't, I don't know, but I think there's an opportunity potentially to collaborate and see if we can drive our way out of this in some other way. And at the very least, it's at least somebody else to talk to. So if you're in that position and you want to think about sharing and getting some help and just, you know, talking to people about what we might do to recover our businesses, drop me an email, hello@bizradio.co.uk, and we'll get something together, whether that's a Zoom meetup or, when we can, a physical meetup, just to talk through some of the things we might do to get our businesses back up and running. I've had an email here from the lovely Tara Humphrey. Tara's a local business owner, and she backs a scholarship fund to support BAME healthcare professionals and help them pursue their leadership careers. Tara runs her own business working in the healthcare sector and was recently moved by the Black Lives Movement. Tara wanted to do something proactive to address the lack of BAME representation in senior roles within the healthcare sector, and decided to create the Business of Healthcare Scholarship, a scheme that is fully funded by Tara herself. And she says, as a black female and small business owner operating in the field of healthcare, I want to support professionals passionate about making their mark in this amazing yet challenging sector, just as I'm striving to do. While there's a tremendous amount of work to do, I believe that no matter how small our individual actions may be, we can use our voices, platforms, networks and resources to support, empower and promote others to pursue the careers they are passionate about, and to increase the number of BAME healthcare professionals in leadership positions. I believe that to be the best leaders we can be, we need to invest in our personal and professional development, which is why I decided to launch the scholarship scheme. The scholarship will provide grants that can be used towards a training course, mentor or coach. The full details, eligibility criteria and how to apply can be found at my website, which is www.thcprimarycare.co.uk/scholarship. The THC Primary Care is Tara's company, and it provides project management and consultancy to GP practices, primary care networks and other NHS organisations. You can find out more about Tara and her company at that website, which is www.thcprimarycare.co.uk/services. So thcprimarycare.co.uk/scholarship to find out more about the scholarship for helping BAME healthcare professionals in their leadership quest, or thcprimarycare.co.uk/services to find out more about Tara Humphrey and her company and her project management and consultancy services. So check that out. What a fantastic initiative. I like it when people do something positive.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah. Doing something positive is what we need. Running around in the street shouting and screaming is of no use to anybody.
No.
We've got to do something positive, and Tara has done something positive, and I fully support that, and I think it's a brilliant initiative.
Yeah,
so
brilliant.
Well done, Tara.
Well done. Thank you, Paul Diamond Weighted Circles, who just likes to reassure me he's not calling me Miss Piggy in any way whatsoever.
Oh, see, he's creeping to you, isn't he?
He is now.
Yeah, having a go at me, but creeping to you. So I'm Kermit, but she's not Miss Piggy. I got it. Okay, I understand. All right. Don't worry about it.
And we have Tracy Ann Barker, who said it was great to hear Chris. Really interesting discussion. And we have had a tweet from Alpha311.
Right.
So do you know who Alpha 311 is?
I don't know who Alpha 311 is.
I want to tell you about Alpha 311, because now we're actually allowed to talk about it. So one of the last shows the Bunker Extra did before we came off air, when our guests were, was Barry Thompson, or Barry and John, as he is otherwise known.
Okay, yep.
And Barry was going on about a new business idea that he had, something they were bringing to the world, as it were, and he wasn't allowed to speak about it because it was all very hush-hush.
It was a secret.
It was a secret. and he wouldn't even tell me off air, so I couldn't tell. But now it has been launched, and the Alpha 311 is the only wind turbine that doesn't need wind to be blowing. What? I just read that. So basically, they have designed a new
wind turbine without wind. Okay,
it's got a new blade, but basically, it just needs very little wind to work. And what they're doing, obviously, they're in test phase now and putting them all different places and everything. But the whole idea is renewable energy. They were talking about, obviously, they'd work on motorways, very specifically going down the centre reservation of motorways. And obviously, a lot of wind is created by the traffic.
Well, you get the traffic wind, yeah.
Exactly. So then with that, it's all about being renewable energy. Renewable energy. So very pleased that they've actually, through what's been going on, have been able to launch and get the Alpha 311 out there.
Yeah.
So do give them a follow on the Twitter, at 311 Alpha, and follow their progress of how that's going. And also, Barry, do give us a tweet. Let us know more. I think we'll have to have him on the show in a...
Yeah, no, we'll have to talk about it. When they were first working on the prototype of that, I did see some work they were doing on it. Barry had showed me. And it's a fantastic thing. It's a really clever idea. Because it's a very simple idea that uses minimal wind. And as you say, they looked at it for motorways because, of course, traffic passes through the atmosphere and creates drag behind it. And that can be used to power these small wind turbines. I think it's a fantastic idea. I've always thought that renewable energy using wind was never a mass market. It's always going to be a domestic thing. So my belief is having huge windmill farms is just counterproductive. What I think each of us should have is our own small windmill, our own small device for generating our own electricity in our own homes or our own offices or our own businesses. And this device looks to me to fit that bill perfectly.
And so, some houses obviously will have a lot more wind than others.
I don't know why I invited her back here, really. I really don't, yeah. But I think she shouldn't be so harsh on her cooking, is all I can say. Because she's not that bad.
Or should I say hot air rather than wind?
Okay, fine. Thank you.
I wonder if hot air does make it work, because, you know, God, can you imagine how much money we could save with me and you talking?
That's very true. It is true, yeah. Okay, we're going to play some adverts and then we're going to join the news on Channel Radio Newsroom. And when we come back, we've got another guest to talk to. So let's have a listen to this.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. 3 great speakers, 8 of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and